Today, I'm talking to Flair Anderson, MP for Putney, Roehampton, Southfields, and Wandsworth Town. Good morning, Flair, and thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie.
Good morning. It's great to be on Radio Jackie this morning.
So, the results of the Alton estate ballot are out, and they're showing that 82.4% people voted yes. It represents a huge investment in Roehampton. The Alton estate was built between 1958 and 1959, I understand, as an ambitious post-war development representing modern utopian living. So obviously today that's not modern utopian living and lots needs to be done. It's one of the largest public housing estates in the UK. What does this mean for residents of the Alton estate?
Oh, this is great news for the Alton Estate. I was pretty much in tears when the announcement was made, and I was straight down onto the estate talking to some of the children, especially for whom this is amazing for their future. But the estate, as you said, has been it was built for modern utopian living, but it's been neglected for quite a few years now, and residents really feel that it's been neglected by decision makers. And I made it my mission when I was elected in 2019 to reverse that. And the Wandsworth Council has come in now and put in a new proposal, which was made really with the community. And that's the key thing about this. This was not imposed at all. It was designed with local people on the estate to say, what do you want on the estate? And what they want is better housing, better quality, good quality homes, shops, bigger shops, a community centre, new GP, and they're going to get all of that with this new regeneration. And I think the fact that it was what local people said they want resulted in such a huge amount of people saying absolutely yes, over 80%. And this was the biggest regeneration ballot that's ever been held in the UK. So it's a very big deal, and it means £150 million of investment in the estate.
That's huge. So existing homes, are they going to be demolished or upgraded? And how many new homes? So what's going to be the net gain of homes on the estate?
So in the centre of the estate, there are two main roads that will be demolished, and also two other smaller areas of the estate. And in return, there will be all of those things that I just mentioned, plus 130 new social homes, and several hundred more private homes as well. So there's a lot more homes, but there's also, to go along with that, a lot more of the public services as well.
And also, you're saying there's going to be 50% affordable homes. Obviously, Wandsworth Council are going to have to work with the developers to provide affordable homes. And we often get this thing with developers as, oh, yes, we're going to provide so many affordable homes. But they have this 15 to 20% viability clause that they have to make 15 to 20% profit. And then they come back and say, well, actually, it's cost us a bit more to build them. How are you going to make sure that doesn't happen this time?
Absolutely. I've seen that happen. Absolutely my concern, especially. And then they also often build the community services at the end. They say, oh, well, now we've got to it. We don't know if we can afford what we said. The really unusual, ingenious part of this plan is that Wandsworth Council is the developer. So they are the ones who will get to be in charge of the project. They know that they will deliver what they've said they will do because they have taken over the developer. The history of this is quite a long time. It's been 15 years in the making, and in that time, there was another developer that was the previous council, the Conservative Council had, that pulled out and jeopardised the whole project. So the redesigning of the project with people and with the council being the developer has made it an entirely different proposal.
That's brilliant. So also GPs, have the NHS been contacted to say if they can provide GPs for the GP surgery? Because often you get this case, build a GP surgery, go to the NHS, and they actually, we don't have any GPs to fill that surgery. Has that all been put in place too?
Absolutely. So the new G there are two new GP surgeries at different ends of the estate in the redevelopment, and they are existing GP surgeries that will move into the new premises. So this has all been done very much in conjunction with the Integrated Care Board, who run NHS services across South West London, and they will be investing in this new premises. For example, one of the surgeries, well, both of them, they want to do more prevention work, health prevention, and they are unable to do that because they don't have enough space for the kind of the extra rooms needed to do that. And this will give them both better consulting rooms, better waiting room, and those rooms to do more preventative care work, which is really really needed in an area like Roehampton, where there are really stark health inequalities. So working with the NHS right from the start on this regeneration, putting health right in there as a very important part of it, is also quite different about this regeneration. And I think it contributes to people on the estate saying, great, this is what we want.
Yeah. And also I see they're including lots of new green spaces, because for mental health, you need to get outside. Children need to be able to play outside. Green spaces, net bio gain is very, very important, isn't it?
Everyone on the estate, when we were asking, well, at the beginning, so what do you like about the estate? What would you like more of? Green spaces was really high up there. It's a beautiful estate. It's already got a lot of green space, and it's right next to Richmond Park as well. So it's already a place where people really value that. And this is an opportunity to look again at some of the breaking up some of the concrete areas that they have now, and building in play spaces, green spaces, looking at access as well. So it's very inclusive, and for everyone who's going to be living on the estate, of all ages, and for disabled people, it'll be easier to get around as well. So incorporating all of these things.
So it's going to watch this space. And what sort of time scale are we talking about for it to start, to be completed?
Well, the first stage of it is the community building at the top of Danebury Avenue, for those who know the estate. And that will be done, that the planning permission will go very soon. So it should be started next year. And then there's a phased development over the 10 years after it starts, to allow for people to only have one move. So a block will be built, and then people will move into that one, and where they've come from, the next one will be built, and so on. So it won't seem so disruptive. It's not all at once for the estate. Instead, it's phased over 10 years for that reason.
So people can carry on living on the estate. They just move just once, which is great.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm sure we can talk about a lot in the future, how that's going on. Let's move on to Feltham Fat. 100-ton Fatberg was removed in Feltham. I think that's also alongside, there's a Fatberg about the size of four tennis courts down from Hammersmith Bridge in place as well. There have been two consultations so far about plastics and baby wipes. Are we going to get serious about really making sure we remove plastics from baby wipes in the future?
I'm so glad you've asked me about this, because I'm absolutely obsessed with wet wipes. Every school I go to lots of local schools, and I say to them all, I'm going to tell you about something. You might think it's a bit odd for an MP to be talking about this, but bear with me. So thank you for asking, because it costs us so much money that wet wipes clog up our sewers. So Thames Water spend millions of pounds every year on unclogging those, and that costs us money on our bills as well. So it is really important. It's also really important for our rivers and cleaning up our rivers. And if you go down to the banks of the River Thames, as I've been doing for quite a few years now, if you just scratch along the surface, what you think just looks like mud often is wet wipes. And that's because they used to be all made of, including plastic. And you wouldn't think wet wipes have got plastic in, but it's tiny microfibers, which is the thing that held them together. So they were stronger than loo roll. But that is also what stops them ever breaking down. And as far as we know, those wet wipes with plastic in, we don't know that they will ever break down. So it's dreadful for the environment. So I've been campaigning. I put a private members bill in several years ago, 3 years ago. They could.
Blair, I'm losing you a bit. Can
manufacturers
you just, sorry. Blair, I'm losing you. Can you just repeat that a bit about your private?
Was going to be changed. LOPS. So,
Blair, can you hear me?
Yeah, private members bill.
Yeah, you broke
yes,
up okay. About the
sure
private. You broke up by the private
okay.
members bill. So, can you go back to the stage when you said I've introduced a private members bill and go on for there, please? Thank you.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, I introduced a private members bill into Parliament to say that no more production of wet wipes with plastic in, and no more selling them, should be done across the UK. And even the threat of this bill happening in the future meant that retailers said, yes, we want to do this and we'll speed it up. And they can include, for example, it can be made from bits of wood or bamboo, things that break down. So now, if you go into Tesco's, all the wet wipes they sell, none of them have plastic in. Boots is the same, and retailers have really come on board. But I think we still need to go further, as you said. So I met with the minister just yesterday again, and next week I've got a debate on plastic in wet wipes in Parliament, to keep pushing the government to do this. They have said that they will bring in the new legislation before Christmas. So I just want to really hold their feet to the fire and make sure they actually do this. As you say, it's been promised for a long time, and the last government promised it a lot, but this government immediately said, yes, we will do it. And they've just been waiting for a parliamentary slot. But that hasn't stopped me still working alongside the retailers and producers to get plastic out of our wet wipes. But you mentioned flushing, and actually, it's a funny thing to be talking about, but it's the core of it. Even without plastic in the wet wipes, no one should flush wet wipes. And that should be the thing that we get across most in this. Thames Water are really campaigning for people to put a bin in their bathroom. So anyone who's listening, Radio Jackie listeners, please, my plea is, can you get a bin in your bathroom? And then that will just remind you when you're using a wet wipe for makeup removal or whatever it's for, don't flush your wet wipe, put it in the bin. If we could really reverse this across the country, in the same way, for example, that we reverse the use of plastic bags in shops. We all used to use them all the time. And with that 5p cost, we all started to think differently about plastic. And that really reduced, significantly reduced plastic in our environment. And this is another thing that could do that as well.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in a debate when you're talking about it's only poo down the loo, because Thames 21 had a campaign, just it's only poo that goes down the loo, don't put wet wipes
Only
down the
poo
loo.
down the loo. Yes,
And
exactly.
I think you need to also keep educating mums through Mumsnet and all the mums organisations. And it's great you're going into school, because I'm the same as you. I've got a grandchild, and every time the wet wipes come up, I diligently check the wet wipes and say, don't use these, do not, and don't flush it down the
Exactly. Me too. I've got a 2-year-old grandchild. So having used wet wipes before, now using them again, and now I check the packet. And the labelling can be quite confusing. So just never flushing wet wipes is far the easiest message.
Yeah, because sometimes they say biodegradable, sometimes they say natural. And if you actually look at the fine print, there is still plastics in there. So,
Exactly. And sometimes they say fine to flush, but it's really not fine to flush.
no, don't flush. Definitely don't flush. Right, let's move on to the modernisation of rail service at Wimbledon. I think it's a cross-party concern about the signage, signal failures, and reliability on the Wimbledon branch. I think I spoke to one of the Liberal Democrats who said he gets on a train at Wimbledon and doesn't quite know whether he's actually going to get to where he's going because it's so confusing. How are you doing with TfL and SWR on this? You've started a
So it's
petition.
the modernisation of the district line, and it's the Wimbledon branch which we're really suffering on for that reliability. And last autumn it was really bad, and I met with the senior managers of the district line, and they told me about leaves on the line, which is one of those things you just think, no, it can it be? But actually, it's because the signal fate the signals the actual wiring of the signals is quite aging on the whole of the district line. And then again, during the Wimbledon Championships, Southfields station is the main tube station for the Wimbledon Championships. And again, when the eyes of the world were looking at Wimbledon, the district line failed us. And again, I met with senior managers, and again, they were saying they were going to be fixing this. And then more recently, we had 2 whole weeks of failures when the catalogue of people not knowing if they could get to work, people who just all the year sevens who just started secondary school, and then I just really felt for all the parents sending them off on the district line, and that being very unreliable. But for everyone who uses it, it was really difficult. So again, I've been back to the district managers and said, just this is not good enough. You need a plan to fix things faster when they fail, and you need a long-term plan to modernise that branch of the district line, because the rest of the district line is being modernized. So this part is being left out because it has an overlap with the rail services. So it's the responsibility of Network Rail, the newly nationalized South West Rail, and TfL, and they really need to get together. So last week I met with the head of operations for the whole of Transport for London to have this out with her. And they absolutely very aware of this problem. They have been working on it. And what they've done is they've done They've changed the way that they have the repair teams. It was being left to the train teams, and there's some technicalities about how the tube repair teams couldn't work on the rail, which was so frustrating to hear. But I am glad to hear that they've looked into it and they've changed that. So they've changed who can work on it, so it will be fixed faster when it breaks. Well, let's see if that actually happens. You know, all of these things sound good, but I don't believe it until I actually see it. But if it does, great. And then also looking into the long-term modernisation, it's something that myself, all the MPs along this part of the line will definitely be pushing for.
Thank you. Finally, we'll talk about the success of another of your campaigns, the step-free access across step-free access for Putney Bridge and East Putney, which I understand has got to the feasibility study stage. What happens next, and how long will this take to reach an end, reach a result?
I don't know if you've been to East Putney Station ever, but they have extremely steep steps. So, and they don't have a lift, and it doesn't have an escalator. So anyone who uses that station finds it very difficult to get up that steps with buggies or with even with luggage. And there are many people with disabilities or just find it harder to walk, mobility issues, who cannot use their local station. And the next station along on the District Line, Putney Bridge, also doesn't have a lift and doesn't have escalators too. So I've been putting a lot of pressure with a big petition to first of all get on the list for even consideration, because the station wasn't even being considered. And looking at the amount of people who use the station, and also that surge use of when it's Fulham Football Club days, for example, lots of people use that station. There are really good reasons why, by their own criteria, Transport for London should be including East Putney Station in their Access for All scheme. So we had a 3,000 people sign my petition, and thanks to everyone who signed it. And the station was put on the very long list, 30 stations for looking at. But the news just recently was that we've now got on to the next stage, which is 17 stations, and those will all have a fully funded feasibility study. So it all seems to be taking for a very long time for any user of the station, but we are moving forward and we are successfully, and I am doing my best to make sure we make that case for East Putney Station to have step-free access. And both East Putney and Putney Bridge are on that list of 17 that are now having really close consideration of how much it will cost. Early costings for how much it would be for East Putney were very high. So I hope that by properly looking into this and really costing it and looking at the ways you can bring down the costs, this will make East Putney more of a viable choice for Transport for London.
So I presume the costings are out for tender, and if you get more than one tender in, you might be able to compare them or make some reductions in the costs.
Exactly. And this feasibility study really looks into those costings and what it would be, and looks into different ways you can do step-free access, different ways in which where you'd have the lift, for example, and how you can make other changes to the station, which I really welcome, because we need the big scheme, but we also need small, better changes to improve accessibility as well.
Well, if you improve the small things, the big things come along as well, don't
Hopefully. And that's what
they?
we'll keep saying. So to everyone who signed the petition and everyone who signed it recently and a couple of years ago as well, the campaign does not stop.
Fleur, it's been a delight to talk to you this morning. Thank you for joining me on Radio Jackie. I look forward to speaking to you in the next month, and we can carry on this conversation and hopefully see where some of these projects are going. So thank you again, and have a good day.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.